Many times we've heard, you know, that all scripture is inspired by God and that every little word means something. Often it's used to say, hey, this little if phrase, if you do this, then that. And we often forget to look at that. And it just made me understand the importance of every little word. A few weeks ago, Dennis was sharing, and he used a scripture that I thought that I remembered correctly, and it was Philippians 4:6, where it says, do not be anxious. The way I remembered it was, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Jesus. There's a little phrase there that I forgot. It's really, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. And I forgot the with thanksgiving. And that little prepositional phrase really got me. I started thinking about how I see people, kids, sometimes in front of their parents asking for things, not really with a thankful heart for what their parents have done. And we as parents, we've all made sacrifices for our kids, for each other, these different things. And that with thanksgiving, just, I missed it. And I thought about how many times I go to God and just, hey, Lord, you know, can you take care of this? Or this is really hurting. And, you know, rather than saying, hey, do I have the thankful heart and realize what God has done for me? Christmas morning, my wife and I were sitting in the living room and we had the television on and it was one of the, you know, Today or Good Morning America or something like that. And one of the statistics that they said was that 46% of Americans still celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday. Less than half still recognize the religious of it. And they said that's down from 51% just 3 years ago. And I'm thinking, wow, less than half the people in America celebrate Christmas because it's a religious holiday. And then the anchor, whatever, said, and I hope you got everything you wanted for Christmas. And I'm putting this together with a Thanksgiving emphasis. And I'm thinking, I mean, John 3:16, you hear that everywhere. It's on all kinds of TV shows. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And how thankful are we then? The fact that we are commemorating the birth of Christ at Christmas basically gives me everything I want, everything I need, that alone. But did you get everything you hoped for, everything you wanted? And it's like, where is the emphasis? Well, for half of America, it's not on Christ. It's not on the religious portion of it. It's on self. And I thought about myself as a greedy kid going before God, sometimes saying, what do I want for Christmas? And it really got me stirred that I had forgotten that little bit, that with thanksgiving. And that was a couple, 6-8 weeks ago. And then we had the holiday, Thanksgiving, where you spend it with family, friends, things like that. And it's not just the fourth Thursday in November, the first Thursday before St. Venison Day. It is a way of life, Thanksgiving. It's just not that one day. The pilgrims, when they came over, they suffered such losses because of disease coming across the ocean, but yet they were thankful to God. And this same concept of Thanksgiving, I've been picking it up in every message that has come forth. When John MacCready was here, and he was talking about joy to the world, and he used 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I'm thinking sometimes I'm thinking more about me than I am about being thankful to God and what he has done, especially during this holiday season where we recognize it's the birth of Christ, that as sin entered through one man, through Adam, the solution for us to get right with God came through one man, through that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And that's what Christmas is about. So I think everyone got what they needed for Christmas. You got to commemorate the birth of your Savior, the one who saves us, who saved me, who took my sins, your sins, and paid the price. And then last week, when Pastor Jenks was here and he talked about the Holy Spirit, I read a quote somewhere that, you know, single men have consciences, married men have wives, but we have the Holy Spirit to be our guide and can tell us when we've done right and wrong. It's just the way it is. We've got that Holy Spirit living within us that is just, exhorting us to do the good things, letting us know what's right, what's wrong. God living in us. And I am just so thankful that my spiritual eyes have been open, that I'm not one of the 50% that don't realize Christmas is about Christ. And I think everybody here who has accepted Christ, the same thing. We don't look just in the three dimensions and say, oh, this is the way the world is, or even put in the fourth time and say, okay, things are going to be this way. We look at it as knowing that there's a spiritual element to our lives. I love my brother, and he and I have had an interesting journey in his coming to know the Lord. And recently he was telling me about the universe, and it's like it's expanse. And he said, but you know, of all the visible things, the matter in the world, that's only 6%. They're saying there's 94% of things we can't see. And it's like, yep. And he says, you know, you can know everything that about the seen universe, and you're only getting a 6% on your test. The spiritual realm is just so much larger. The things you can't see, the things that's going on. Right here, right now, God's working in your heart. There is a spiritual element that we can't just throw to the side. And it comes down to being thankful. God gave us his son. One of the interesting things from last week's message, Pastor Jenks, with the Spirit of God, it just reminded me that there are so many different ways of things. One of the things I liked was he went on a little side journey, and he talked about the way that he was taught to do scriptures. And he said, yep, he was told on Monday morning, you kind of, you know, you pray about it, you get your subject. On Tuesday, you add the meat, and on Wednesday, you polish it. And he says, that just didn't work for him. He said, you know, he had a date with God every Saturday, and they put together the message, and it just flowed. I noticed that we have something I'm thankful for, is the messages that come forth from this pulpit aren't the same each and every week. There's a variety. There's a different thing because we all receive in different ways. When I grew up in high school, and you probably did this the same thing when you had an English essay, they said, you make your outline, you write your, from each point in your outline, you write your topic sentence, you do the meat of it, and then you come up with your final essay. And when I was in the military, Dave, I was very regimented. But no, I was taught in the military when you're putting together a briefing, tell them what you're going to say, say it, tell them what you said. Really organized with the way you do things. And Dennis, when he puts together his Sunday school messages and things like that, anytime you're doing that kind of a teaching, you go, you look at commentaries, you study it, you do all this stuff, and you get it together. And everyone has their little differences in the way they present. Rick's got such passion and energy when he's up here. It just, wow, somebody who's so on fire for God. But through all this, everyone still preaches Christ crucified. The bottom line, no matter how you put it together, and Dave, I know how you do yours. You do a combination. You wait till Saturday night, you ask Holy Spirit, and then you look at a dozen different commentaries, and 4 a.m, you're done. I know how you do your messages, and I appreciate that because everyone has a heart to present what God wants or what God has put on their heart for this congregation, for this local body, so that way we can receive. there's something here for everyone. And sometimes it's just that little tidbit. I mentioned that John MacCready used 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. One of the things I was doing is listening to podcasts, and one of the messages during Thanksgiving talked about 5:18. Yeah. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And the pastor made reference to the fact that Corrie ten Boom, that was her favorite passage. Everybody knows who Corrie ten Boom is? If you don't, you know, they housed Jewish people during the German occupation so they wouldn't get sent to the death camps, and ultimately they got caught and sent, and still thankful for what God is doing in their lives. And we as Americans, we are so blessed. Sometimes we just take it for granted. I'm guilty. Sometimes I feel I am entitled because I've had it so good for so long. There was one refugee who said, people in America, even the poor, eat well. They can go to the market baskets or the Giant Eagles and they can buy the same food that the rich do. They're not out there scrounging in the dump looking for anything. Now, there are some, I understand, but we as a nation have been blessed. And we need to be thankful for what God has done in our lives. It's not just day-to-day living. So when you go to pray, you need to be thankful. Realize what God is doing in your lives. Different things, different people, bringing you together. The way that we interact, the way that we bless one another. It's all God. I know that, Rick says, hey, we're going to praise. You know, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Sometimes we forget that. At the beginning of the service, when Dennis says, hey, praises, what's going on? What are we thankful for? Just a chance to acknowledge God is still working in our lives, in each and every one of us. Well, grateful is more of a feeling, where thanksgiving, I looked it up on in the dictionary, and it was said it's more of an action, being thankful. And that really kind of made me think about things. We all know about there's a book, The Five Love Languages, that you show your love with actions, with gifts, little touches, the pats on the back, or let's see, there's another T. Come on, help me out here. No, word, that's a W, that's a word. Oh, I didn't even write it down. But, yes, I did. Time. Oh, wow. How can I forget that one? We are called to show the love of God to other people. Because things that we're thankful for. Actions. We talk about visiting the shut-ins, helping somebody. Different things we can do. Because God has given us gifts to share. Those actions mean a lot. The other day, I don't know how you folks are with the mail. I like getting mail. It's not always bills, but we got a thank you card in the mail. Now, if you're thankful for something, it's nice to say thank you or to send a quick email or a text or something like that. But someone took the effort to write us a thank you card. And it wasn't just one or two, hey, thanks for this. A paragraph there. And my wife took it and put it right on the refrigerator. It meant something. It's one of those little things that people don't do it anymore. But it's impacting. It touches people's lives. Gifts, I'm not so good with gifts, but it tells you that people are thinking about you, that you're thinking about others. Small things matter. Yeah. Time. I recently had somebody take some vacation time to spend some time with me. And it's like, wow. that is impacting. You know, time is one of those resources. There's only a finite amount that we have. But if you take time to help someone, to be with someone, because God puts it on your heart, you're sharing that. You're showing your love, through, you know, your godly love. The touches, the pats on the back. The warm hugs, the embraces when people come into church. It means something. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Words of encouragement. Not the, hey, good job here and there, but words of encouragement mean something. Recently at work, we do performance reviews, and I had the opportunity, I got solicited by one of the managers, hey, these guys have been working on your program for the last year. Can you give me some input? What an opportunity. Here are some people to say, here's the great things they've done. And I, you know, for a manager to do that, not all of them do it. They actually care about what goes into those performance reports so their people, you know, can hear, have the things. Or to send out an email and copy their boss on it and say, hey, you really did a great job on this. Thank you for taking the initiative. Those things go in their file, and then when it's performance time, they get written, you know, and people realize, and sometimes even realize that they come from you, and they'll tell you thank you afterwards. It means something. Words of encouragement. Hey, you're doing a good job. I appreciate you do this. Or, you know, Dennis said, hey, I like the way you greet people at the door. You're smiling and they come in and they're happy. It makes a difference. The little things. Or, you know, the music team, the work they put in, and everything that goes on here at this little body. You know, you got Dave in the back there. Just, yeah. It's work. It's effort. People do a lot of things that you don't notice. We show each other love, the love of Christ. And I'm thankful for it. I don't always acknowledge it. I don't think we all, as a group, acknowledge it at times. Just say, hey, thank you. The efforts that people have put in, sharing the gospel, inviting a friend, that's work. There's a risk involved in it, but people do it, and I'm thankful for it. You know, so when someone comes in, you got to say thank you. You have to really have that. So one of the other podcasts I was listening to kind of took the other side, and it made me realize why I am not always thankful. And, you know, we've heard the seven deadly sins, and one of those is envy. And sometimes I think envy is just the opposite of being thankful. Someone at work gets promoted and you say, hey, what about me? Or someone else is blessed with something and you say, what about me? How come I didn't get this? 10th commandment, let's see, we got it right there. Thou shalt not covet. You know, and that's basically envying, wanting your neighbor's wife, house, car, whatever. Like I said, we are so blessed with the things that we have in this country. We're so blessed with friends, family, that we can come together and worship openly. Can't do that everywhere in the world. And I don't know how many people have been out of this country where you see severe poverty, the way that the world is. This country, founded on godly principle, has been enjoying the blessings for a long, long time. Each and every one of us, you know, I haven't missed many meals in my life. I really haven't. I've been really blessed. And 1 Peter 2:1 says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. We see what God does. We've seen it. Our spiritual eyes have been open. In Galatians 5:19, it says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. And then it goes on to list some more, and then it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But what I'd like to get across here is that we're coming upon a new year. It may just be changing the last digit on your calendar. Go ahead and write it on the next couple checks in case you haven't done it already, so that way, all right, little things. But I don't believe in making, quote, New Year's resolutions. Anytime you see an area in your life where you need a change, it's time to make a resolution, time to make a change. Don't have to wait for the new year or after the holidays or whatever. You can do it at any time. And it's interesting because God won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. So there was an article in Forbes magazine that lists seven different advantages to living a thankful life. And I'm going to go through these. They use the word gratitude or thanks. But I think they're important. So if you're taking notes on your thing, rather than just putting down your shopping list on your bulletin, you might want to write some of these down. Gratitude opens the door to more relationships. Not only does it constitute good manners, but it helps you win new friends. There's a study in 2014 in Emotion magazine that said, hey, thanking a new acquaintance makes them more likely to seek an ongoing relationship. Just acknowledging other people's contributions can lead to new opportunities. So, being grateful, saying thank you. I have a couple acquaintances where after I spend time with them, I'm brought down because it seems all they do is grumble. Things are not right. Oh, this isn't good and that. We're in a first world. Oh, the battery in my key fob doesn't work. What am I going to do now? I mean, okay. You know, those are the type of problems where, my washer stopped or I've got a leaky faucet. How many people in the world don't have a good water source, have to walk miles for it, or just don't have it? Grateful. But you hear people talk about, hey, this happened or that happened or this person did that. Those are the kind of people I want to be with. I want relationships with people who are thankful. The older I get, the more I find the type of people I like being with are the type of people I want to grow into being. There are things I see in other people, different attributes. I like that, and I want to incorporate them into my life. So if you're a grateful person, there's a better chance that even saying it to a stranger, hey, thank you for opening the door, doing this, doing that. It's not just polite and good manners. It can often get you new friendships. It can open doors. Gratitude improves your physical health. Fewer aches and pains. I think almost all of us would like that. But there's a 2012 study in personality and differences. And grateful people are more likely to take care of their health. They realize that God has a purpose for them. They're thankful. They're more attuned to what God wants them to do. It improves your psychological health. It increases your happiness and reduces depression. Think on these things, right? Those that are good. It enhances empathy and reduces aggression. More studies, University of Kentucky. Those that ranked higher on the gratitude scales, less likely to retaliate against others, even when given negative feedback. Because they're thankful for the many things in life, they don't have to focus on the negative. They sleep better. This study said, hey, if you take 15 minutes and jot down a few sentiments before you go to sleep, you're going to sleep better and longer. You can do the same thing by just taking time at the end of the day to thank God for the things he's done in your life, to acknowledge his working. I don't always do that. I think things are sometimes because of my doing. I don't always give God the credit he wants. We need to do that. It's not much to say thank you. It's a start. But when you start thinking and you start, your eyes become open to the thing that God is doing in your life, the opportunities that He has given you, the more you're going to see. It's just like everything else. You use a muscle, it gets stronger and stronger. You start using that muscle that acknowledges God in your life, pretty soon you're going to see more and more of that unseen world, more of the spiritual realm, what's going on. It's a good thing. It improves your mental strength. In 2006, they found that Vietnam veterans with those that had a higher degree of thankfulness or gratitude, lower rates of PTSD. I think that's interesting. I mean, mentally, it makes you strong. It forces, it fosters a resilience in your body. You know, you can be negative about things. Not fun to be with those type of people. You can be positive, and it becomes a lot more fun in life. You enjoy being with those. And everybody has a story. Everybody has something to share. So you listen to it. You take the time to listen to people, to find out what's going on in their lives. Sometimes they'll tell you a way that you can minister to them that you didn't even know about. Sometimes just listening to them is a ministry. It's a good thing. Caring for people, being with others, encouraging. We all have the ability and the opportunity to cultivate thankfulness, gratitude in our lives. God has given us so much. This holiday season, if you're not thankful for what God did for you, you need to take a step back and say, hey, where am I really at? People make sacrifices. Family and friends to visit. It's work, it's effort. People do it. Yeah, I am just so thankful, yeah, for friends, for people, visitors, things like that. It just means so much to me. Actions. I needed a piece of furniture moved, so I called my neighbor across the street, you know, and it was a 10-minute job, and I had cleaned the way and things like that. And I felt so thankful to him. But then he came by and he told me, hey, thank you for asking for my help. How many times we don't let people be blessed just because we want to do it on by ourselves? It's okay to ask for help. Let others bless you. It's a blessing to them to care, to be able to just be with you sometimes. A lot to be thankful for as we go into this new year. There have been struggles. Everybody's been through them. Sometimes my envy kicks up and I say, man, that person has it so good. And then as you get to know that person, you find about some of their problems. God has me where He wants me to be. I just have to be respectful of that. Whether it's been, you know, physical ailments, you know, fiscal problems, whatever. God's in control, and I have a peace about that. And I'm thankful that it's not just always me, and I'm not doing it on my own. That I've got one up there who's guiding me, a Holy Spirit within that guides me, that quickens things to my heart. It's just so good. So as we're going into 2019, I guess my request, my prayer, is that you try and be more thankful to the Lord for the things He's blessed you with. There are opportunities out there to bless others, to show the love of Christ. And we don't all do it the same way. But it's still impacting. Sometimes it's just that little pat on the back, that little hug. That little, hey, thank you, that matters. If we can all rise. Almighty God, you are our Lord. You are our Savior. You saved us. We thank you for what Jesus did, coming into this world, living as a person, Lord, humbly, and giving his life for us, for me personally, for my sins, for everyone's sins. Lord, we just can't sometimes comprehend that. But I am thankful. I'm thankful not just for the here and now, but that you care for me, that you have a mission, a purpose for each and every individual here. And Lord, just speak to our hearts. Ask this in Jesus' name. Go in God's peace. Amen. You're dismissed.